This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Keep up with the latest headlines from Austin and beyond on the all-new Talk1370.com. Stay informed with the latest news, weather, contests, and more. It's all just a click away at Talk1370.com. Just one more way to stay connected with Talk1370.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. We are live from Austin, Texas, home of the championships at Circuit of the Americas, and we are dealing with some thunderstorms here, Les Kaiser.
Hey, you bet. They're pretty serious, coming in hard right now. I decided to four-wheel it into work today instead of two-wheeling.
Well, we should have parked underneath in case it's hailing.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we got a bunch to talk about tonight because Jonathan Green is going to join us here in just a minute, and we are going to be talking mostly IndyCar tonight with all the Formula One boys in IndyCar, and of course, our guest tonight, the pole sitter, Scott Dixon, is going to join us in about a half hour.
I've been in the IndyCar mood all week, I tell you.
Haven't we all? But let's see if we got Jonathan Green on the line. Mr. Green, are you on the line?
And he's on it.
There he is. There he is.
I hear him Skyping in. How's it going, Mr. Green?
Good. How you guys? I'm in Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky right now. Just about 2 hours from Indy, and I'm heading that way tomorrow.
That's right. You're going to be at Indianapolis tomorrow morning, aren't you?
I'm going to be reporting all week for Speed City at the greatest spectacle in racing. Les knows it all too well, having been last year. And I just cannot wait, with Rossi right where he needs to be. Alonso is fired up and on the second row. And, of course, the man of the moment, Scott Dixon, the most successful current driver of all time. And, I'm so excited to have him on the show.
I know, man. This is going to be awesome to have Scott Dixon. But we are going to – so, obviously, today we're going to spend a lot of the show talking about IndyCar. But we're also going to talk a little MotoGP. That was a fantastic race, man. That was awesome.
Which one are you talking about?
Well, I didn't get to see all Moto2
awesome.
And Moto3, but the MotoGP race itself was fantastic.
Hey, nothing was predictable today. You know, what a great show was put on, and serious racing in every class.
Yeah, no kidding. But so Jonathan, let's do a little Indy preview a little bit. Why don't you talk about the qualifying that went on today?
Well, the qualifying was really interesting. In fact, the weather up here, I mean, I'm about an hour and a half away from Indianapolis in Louisville, Kentucky, and we've had a lot of bad weather. I know you're getting bad weather down in Austin, yeah. But over the weekend it's been a lot of rain, heavy rain, and it affected our race here. We'll talk about that in a moment, but it also affected qualifying at Indy. But today, Indy was really beautiful. It was really hot, but it was windy, very windy, and it really did affect everybody going out for qualifying laps. And what that meant was, as you know, in qualifying, you take the wings off and you go as fast as you darn well can. And trouble is, once you hit a corner with the wings, you are up against the elements. And if there's a wind blowing and you know how big Indianapolis is, it really affects you. And there was a lot of guys affected. Sato hit the wall, for example, twice at turn two. Several guys scraped off at J.R. Hildebrand. So it really was risk and reward, a total risk factor to try and get above 230 miles an hour. And I'll repeat that number, 230 miles per hour to get the four laps in. And you had to have an average of 231 at least to be anywhere near the front.
Man, I know Scott Dixon, his was what, 232 point something?
Yep.
Yeah.
Scott Dixon was the most consistent, and that's what's the beauty of Scott. And he even had some moments himself, but they trimmed off the car. His engineer said, if we want the pole, we got to lower the wing. And of course, every time you do that, you risk. Because what happens is the car drifts. If you've got no wing, it drifts at the corners. And of course, the wind just blows you even further.
Well, I know it was, I didn't get to see as much as you, Jonathan, but it was really the story all weekend was the wind and the rain and all the weather at Indy. But of course, what about as you move down the grid? I mean, with Alonso being the huge story up there? I mean, I know every story I saw coming out of Indy had something to do with Alonso.
I'm so impressed with Alonso. I mean, the show last week that I said he could make the top nine, that was for the race, of course. But in qualifying, he was the third guy to go, and we thought he'd got the pole because he was the first guy to average over 231 on all four laps. And I thought, and then Rossi asked him, and then finally Scott Dixon, the cool, calm figure of the Kiwi, Scott Dixon came out and beat them all. But Ed Carpenter, who's a two-time pole winner and kind of like, you know, the Indianapolis Golden Sun, he came out and he barely took the pole away. And I think Scott Dixon quietly thought he might do it, but Ed Carpenter's always the guy to watch.
Yeah, awesome.
It really was something, though. And, you know, there were some great, just all week, there's been cool stories, to be quite honest. And you're right. Certainly, Fernando Alonso was a lot of news. And it was great to see him come through. One of the close calls he had, he actually bumped the wall the other day. And that was something that, quite honestly, a lot of the guys brushed the wall. But he hit it pretty solid. Though he didn't lose it, he maintained composure and kept the car going the right direction. So I thought he gained a whole lot of experience this week that I'll say a lot of rookies don't get.
Yeah, that was awesome. You're absolutely right. And the other big thing is, of course, with watching what I saw today, for us, we have a special place in our heart for Alexander Rossi, being friend of the show, being our very first live guest ever. And Rossi looked great today as well. Hey, Jonathan Green, we got you. I think Jonathan's going to switch to a landline.
Yeah, sorry. I wasn't sure whether you were talking to me or Les. Yeah. I tell you what, Rossi was awesome. And actually, you know, I think the confidence that Rossi's got from today, because remember, he came in last year and it was a dark minute decision, you know, kind of like, well, let's just give it a go. And it was all a bit of a maelstrom for him. But now he's a confident, cool, calm, oval successful Indy 500 winning guy, and he may be only still in his early 20s, but you know, he has a composure about him that we've always seen. But I think that Rossi is going to be a huge factor this weekend, and don't count him out. Remember, he's in the same team as Alonso, so they'll work together.
All right, well, hey, Jonathan, we're going to go ahead and take a quick early break because we are going to have Scott Dixon on early. So let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll get you on a landline. We can get you in a little better. So listen to Speed City live from Austin, Texas. We'll be back after these messages.
Augusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Augusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Augusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35. Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
Get the latest business news from CNBC. Weekday mornings at 6:30 and 8:30 and weekday afternoons at 12:30, 4:30 and 5:30.
We make you smarter. Hopefully, it'll also make you some money.
Stay connected with Talk 1370, the right choice.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Ed Brown, Extreme Speed Motorsports, number 30 in the WEC, number 02 in the Tudor, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City. You know, we got to talk about a story, guys, that it's not a fun one to talk about, and that's Nikki Hayden. That's been I've just been on pins and needles following everything I can online.
It really is. It really is. And, you know, I know a lot of folks are following it and are interested in it. And folks, to be honest, one of the biggest stories about this was all of the bogus news that was coming out, the fake news about it. And
yeah.
So please understand that you're not seeing a lot of traffic from us because we have, you know, one solid source. And
well, let's talk about what happened. If you haven't heard, I mean, you probably have, but if you haven't heard, Nikki Hayden was in a really bad bicycling accident. He was bicycling and he was hit by a car, and the damage to the car, we saw those photos where the windshield and the roof of the car. And so American MotoGP champion 2006, Nikki Hayden is really battling right now.
He is. There's a lot of things that came out. So here's the truthful points. He was by himself. He was preparing and training as they always do. He had gone out on the local roads, which is very common, and an automobile struck him. Substantial damage to the vehicle. He was taken to the local hospital and then flight out to a little more equipped hospital. He has been in the hospital ever since. I think that was Wednesday, I want to say. And
so now we're just
very
waiting,
you know? Very, very critical, very serious injuries.
So Jonathan, what's your take on this at this point? I mean, I know you go way back with Nikki, so.
I do, and I'm absolutely mortified by the whole thing. It's so sad, and I actually know the area very well. It's right by the Misano circuit in near Rimini, and I know those roads, and they are absolutely bicycle mad there. They actually, the Giro d'Italia actually comes through that region, so a lot of people ride on, you know, on weekdays and on the weekends on those roads, but they're very narrow. It's a holiday resort town. It's very much similar to kind of Daytona Beach on spring break in terms of the summer in Italy. So there is cars everywhere, but it's also a great place to go bicycling, and it's where a lot of the riders choose to be. It's actually not that far from where Valentino Rossi was born. So it's very, very a popular place for motorcycle riders, and I really, really just feel for Rose and for Earl, who I know are at his bedside right now. And of course, Roger, who's racing in Moto America. Tommy's actually over there, Tommy Hayden. But this is, I just want to implore everybody listening to just like I said, read the news, but just as Les said, do not read sources that aren't accurate. Read the sources that you think and you know and you trust, because Nikki's fighting for his life, and that's all that matters right now. And we shouldn't be trying to work out how things happen, why they happened, and how his state of health is. You'll get the news as soon as we get the news, and when it's official, we'll give it you. But Nikki is in serious, serious trouble right now, and he's fighting for his life, and all I want is everybody to pray for him, because he's a true American champion, and I really hope that he can get through this as well as he can. He's a fighter. He's a good boy from Kentucky, and I'm here in Kentucky right now, about an hour from his home, and I know that this is really being felt here in the community.
Absolutely. You know, Jonathan, you've known him longer than I have, but in the 5 years or so that I've known him, he's always just that friendly, you know, down-to-earth guy that you can just imagine, you know, hanging around drinking a beer with him after being out riding this. But, Jonathan, you said something. You may not realize Earl is sick right now as well and was not able to travel. So he is there in Kentucky. Yeah. And so, you know, that's got to be difficult, Hayden, just not going.
Yeah, that's absolutely going to, poor old Earl will be going through conniptions because Nikki, you remember, Nikki, Tommy, and Roger all made it to the highest level of motorcycle racing. They grew up in Owensboro, and, you know, they've lived and breathed motorcycle racing. And now, with the likes of Jake Lewis and a few others coming through, JD Beach, you know, they all remember the legacy that is, I mean, they're still racing, but there's a huge legacy amongst the Hayden. At Indianapolis, they had their own corner. They had their own section where people would come and hang out with the Haydens. And, you know, I know there's a lot of love in Indianapolis and in Kentucky for Nikki Hayden. And as you say, he was a true gentleman. I mean, you know, he came over as a good old boy because he had that Kentucky accent, that wild Owensboro Kentucky accent. But he was such a genuine man, and he is such a genuine man. And, you know, to see him fighting like he is doing that now, it really hurts me because he's a great sportsman, a great ambassador for the sport, and a true champion, 2006 world champion, of course, in MotoGP, as well as a great American champion.
Yeah, and there's a lot of outpouring from across many different race series. I saw Alonso talking about it, and I think it was Dale Jr. mentioning it. There was a lot of folks talking about it, but you know, I think the thing to do is keep your thoughts and prayers for Nikki and pay attention to the right news sources, and we'll see what happens. But let's talk about, speaking of motorcycle racing, let's go ahead and talk about some MotoGP, because it was a fantastic race today. It really had a little bit of everything, man. I started.
We might have to give Jonathan a hall pass because he was preoccupied with the Red Bull Rallycross, but did you get an opportunity to see any of the races?
Do you know what? I've been literally at a venue all day doing the Red Bull Rallycross, as you know. And so, no, I didn't get to see it this morning because we were up at crack of dawn this morning at 7 a.m. So, unfortunately, I didn't see the race. But I did see Jack Miller take a big spill, massive spill.
Man.
And that was on the national news. So, Jack was making Jack be nimble, Jack be sprat. That was a big, big off. He's okay.
Yeah, I was talking to Jonathan, and he said, I just saw the Jack Miller crash. I said, where were you looking at? He said, it was a national news. I was like, wow. And that was a huge crash. I was really, really worried when I saw it. But he was up and doing interviews. But that crash was really unusual because he carried so much speed so far off the track and hit that barrier.
Right. He was off balance.
Yeah.
Had no controls to grab onto at the time. And really did, he was a passenger almost instantly. Very strange the way it made that kick and it sent him off so far. You had, I want to say Marquez, somebody exited in nearly the same spot, but not in the same manner. And didn't come nearly as far to the wall, but that was very uncharacteristic. Really a different situation and spectacular visually what happened. Glad he got up and walked away.
Well, back to the race. At the beginning of the race, of course, my favorite part was, what was that? I think it was at three turns in, Zarco, you know, the Frenchman in France, jumped right out to the front, and he held the lead for, I don't know, 5 to 10 laps, and he looked great all day. Jonathan, it's really cool to see Zarco. He won GP2, Moto2 2 years running before MotoGP, and now he's looking like a superstar.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about this is that, you know, I don't think people take you know, even when Rossi was in 125s, you know, you kind of like, well, there's potential there. You never sort of say, okay, this guy's going to be a 9-time world champion. But I've been looking at the comments today after Zarco's results, and also obviously since Austin and since the start of the season, Zarco's been the constant factor in terms of being, you know, along with Vinales, the guy right up there. He's on a Tech Tour bike. He's not on the factory bike.
Right.
But he's kicking butt. And, you know, I really do feel that we've got something special. And there's something different also in that he's, because he's French, and I mean, all right, with Le Mans, but because he's French, not since Jean-Michel Bayle and Regis Laconi have we really had a French rider. We've got a couple in Moto America at the moment who are doing really well, but they're not as established. And Zarco is a proven world champion. And I think what I really like about this is it's a new era for French motorcycle racing. And the French are absolutely nuts. If you've seen Le Mans four wheels, you should see Le Mans two wheels, because the French and their motorcycle racing are huge. So Zarco's going to have a massive following, and he deserves it. He's polite, he's nice, and he's fast.
Hey, you're right, but you know, the one thing I got to give kudos to, as spectacular as Jack Miller's crash was, he got right back on the horse and went back out. He continued to perform well all weekend, and you know, man, what a beating he took, but he came in eighth and finished out. So you know they've got to be happy over that. But Jorge Lorenzo, I've been watching him. You know, all the news is Jorge's wearing red, but he looked pretty good. He got sixth. Crutchlow stayed on his bike, stayed on course, made it to fifth, so kudos there. Dovey came up to fourth, and so that was good. Pedrosa in third, Zarco and Vinales. What a great tussle going on with Rossi, Zarco, and Vinales.
Yeah.
Just fantastic racing all the way through there.
And we got to talk about the last lap. Of course, Valentino Rossi got the lead, and then Vinales took it from him. And what was it? It was the second to the last or the last corner when Rossi got...
Front end gave way.
Yep, his front end went out and he did not finish. But, you know, the interesting thing they were pointing out on the television feed was that Rossi really... That was... You have to call it a mistake. I mean, he may have been going, I'm either going to fall, you know, crash or pass. But right before that, he made a mistake where Vinales passed him. So... Yeah. Definitely unusual to see Rossi make a mistake, especially on that last lap. He's Mr. Ice in his veins, man. Jonathan, I know you didn't get to see the race, but, I mean, that is so untypical of Rossi.
Yeah, no, well, yeah, I mean, it is. And I also think that the Yamaha is not quite as perhaps good as it was, or from track to track, I think it's going to be, sometimes they're going to be brilliant, sometimes they're going to be not. And Rossi's just Rossi, you know, I mean, yeah, he does very, very rarely make mistakes, but you know that with two laps to go, he's giving it all, and that's what I love about him. I mean, he just,
yeah,
you know, it's win it or bin it, and at his age, you know, to be doing win it or bin it, he's amazing because he's had so few injuries. He broke his leg, remember, at Mugello a few years ago, but that was a rare incident. He's been very unscathed, generally speaking. He's never been an overly risk taker because he's been so consummate, been so professional, so good. But so, yeah, this is a rare mistake, but I think that's because Rossi desperately wants that 10th championship. He was leading the championship, remember, at the beginning of the day, and I think this is what it's all about for him. He's going to be hell-bent for leather to go and win one more.
Totally agree, and I think that's what's really spicing up this season, because you look back there, and where was Marquez? Hello, Marquez. Marquez.
Yeah.
He was off having tea already. He went out as well.
Having tea. Well, guys, I want to go ahead and take our bottom of the hour break now, because we got Scott Dixon, the pole sitter for the Indy 500, going to be on the show here in just a few minutes. So we're going to go ahead and take that break now. And when we come back, we will have Scott Dixon with us. Thanks for tuning in to Speed City tonight. Back after a quick message.
Jump in my El Camino, roll the windows down.
If you've ridden motorcycles in this part of the country for long, no doubt you know a Buzz Motorcycle Shop. Bud left this world a while back, but his legendary Harley service rides on. No longer is Bud's in downtown Austin. It is now Ravel's Heavy Duty, and they've moved out by the Formula One track. You'll see all the familiar faces, so bring in your new, used, and abused. But there's no sign of shiny showroom prices. So check it out at Ravel'sHeavyDuty.com.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane. The racetrack. It's where legends are born, where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin exotic, iconic automobiles whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey, because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road.
Texas weather can change on a dime.
Flash flooding is expected to begin shortly.
When the weather turns severe, turn to us for what you need to know. On air and online at talk1370.com. Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hey, Austin, wake up and fly right on Talk 1370.
This is David Hobbs, and you're listening to Speed City.
David Hobbs, remember we had him on the show?
Yeah.
I guess it was towards the end of last year. He was fantastic.
Yeah, you know, such an encyclopedia of knowledge, as well as a former driver. And so it's
and a funny
great.
Guy, too.
Oh, yeah. He's a fun guy to catch in the paddock, and he'll sit there and talk longer than I will. So, man, he was a lot more important, though.
Yeah, he was great on the air. Well, so we're waiting on Scott Dixon to call. He'll be just a couple minutes. And, man, this Indy 500, I swear, this is with Alonso Racing and with Alexander Rossi up there, this is going to be so much fun. I am looking forward to this like nothing else. How about you, Jonathan?
Well, yeah, and you know what? Before we get Scott on, I think we should ask him about it. I mean, this, because of Alonso's appearance at this, it has taken it all to a new level. And you saw the likes of Tony Kanaan and Scott Dixon kind of just, you know, getting bristled, because this has been their domain. This is their backyard. The Brickyard is their backyard. And to have a two-time Formula One world champion, just like we had in the 60s with Graham Hill and with Jim Clark coming over, this is like where Indy really kind of started to make its name, because that was what happened. The glamour boys from Europe came over, and Jackie Stewart and all these guys came over to take on the Indy 500. Some were successful, some weren't. But this is really a break in the mold, because Indy and Formula One have been head-to-head for no particular reason. IndyCar stands on its own. It does oval, nothing like Formula One, but it's the single-seater series of America. Formula One, as we know, is Formula One, and it's the biggest sport in motorsport, and most certainly the most expensive. But the Indy 500 is special, and everybody who's ever raced a car wants to win that race. And Fernando Alonso is no exception. I'm so excited for him.
You know, I thought about that during the week. Actually, the last couple of weeks is that, you know, the IndyCar drivers have got to be, I think you used the word bristled, and I think that's right. Yeah, it's exciting to have a Formula One guy here, but, you know, you as an IndyCar driver, especially one of the top guys, you got to feel like you're the best in the world, well, too.
Yeah, you know, and I was curious about that, because last year, you know, I'll say it, we love Rossi, obviously, but it was one of those things. I just kind of wondered how he was received there. I never saw anything, but you just wondered if it wasn't in the back of their mind. And, you know, I'm not going to ask about it today with Scott, but, you know, Scott actually had a seat with BMW for some testing back in the early 2000s in Formula One.
Huh.
So
yeah, I didn't realize that.
Well, yeah. And you know what you got to realize, and the truth of the matter is that, you know, Scott Dixon is as good as any of the Formula One drivers, as is Tony Kanaan, you know, as is, you know, as is Rossi. You know, look at Sebastian Buemi in the sports car racing and in Formula E. Look at, you know, any of these guys that, you know, Piquet Jr., you know, was a Renault driver, now he's doing, he did rallycross here, but he's now, you know, doing Formula E. And, you know, it's really interesting. What you don't realize is just how close these guys are, and Alonso has proved it today. You know, I mean, he has not had anywhere of the seat time, but he has just shown why he's a two-time champion in Formula One, because he's able to do what he's done, which is to learn quickly, to literally be the sponge, to take it seriously, to understand the perils, quite literally, of driving around that circuit, and come through unscathed.
And Fernando, like I said, I mean, I'm looking at the lineup right now. You got Scott up front, Ed Carpenter second, Rossi third, Takuma Sato fourth, Fernando fifth. And you start looking at some of these names that are back through there. You got Marco Andretti back in eighth. Ryan Hunter Ray is 10. And then you start seeing some of the names that have been out there. Juan Pablo is in there. Elio, who's a few of our, you know, Formula One drivers. There's talent all the way through that field, always, just for the Indy. But then you see where you get the different genres of racing, the sports car guys, the Formula One guys, the other, you know, some of the rallycross guys will cross in. So I'm just thinking this is really shaking things up. For one, honestly, I love that Fernando's here. Not because I love Formula One so much, but because now there's going to be a whole audience that kind of sneered towards IndyCar that's going to watch it now more seriously because Fernando's there and Rossi's there and all these guys.
Well, especially the Formula One crowd, because they do kind of look down a little bit. I mean, it's typical. It's the European way. They always think that they've got the best. And, you know, look where I am. I'm not in Monaco. I'm going to the Indy 500 because I'm a believer. I really do think that this is the greatest race in the world. Fernando believes it too. And to be able to come through the month of May and to get there next Sunday and to deal with 350,000 people, they can hear that crowd as they go around on those laps.
Well, enjoy your milk.
It's just a cauldron.
Yeah. Well, it's been so much fun. And I think that there's probably, it doesn't feel like there's as much bristling or animosity or whatever. I haven't seen any, really. I haven't heard nobody publicly.
I think there's an open curiosity about it.
Yeah, for sure. There has to be.
Well, I mean, if you want my opinion, I think that that of all the drivers in Formula One, I mean, I mean all the drivers, and I'm Vettel included, Raikkonen included. I think Fernando Alonso, and you know, I've been saying this on the show time and time again. You know, the legacy of Fernando Alonso was starting to slip away because he didn't have a competitive car.
Right.
And I think the good guys in motorsport understand that. They know that he is the best driver that Formula One has produced in the last two decades, I think. And I'm talking, he was there when Michael Schumacher was there, but Michael Schumacher obviously was the best. But after Schumacher, Alonso rose. Hamilton's getting close, and I say getting close, he's got more world titles. But Alonso, to me, is, and still believes it too, is the best driver in the world, and unfortunately he's not had a competitive ride. And so I think this whole thing with Indy and everything else is a chance for him to show that. And today, he showed it in spades. I mean, my word, to get on the second row, 1 mile an hour off the likes of Dixon, it's just incredible.
Oh, yeah. That's huge. That is a major gap in that timing there. I mean, that you just don't get that. You know, you see them splitting hairs. They're counting hundredths of a second. And so it's a huge stroke for him. Really shows the talent. To me, it also shows how adaptable he is. I've been watching him all week through all the practice, all the qualifying and everything that he was going on after the last F1 race. And he really got in there. And it was great to see the engaging conversations, a lot of the camera views of him on pit lane in the box, hearing from the folks and just listening to everyone that spoke in his direction in there was, I think, you know, very wise, showed his maturity and showed his sincerity about it. It wasn't like, I got this, you know? And so I really liked seeing that displayed at Indy, knowing that there's going to be a critical eye on great, another Formula One driver.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not that I doubt Fernando's abilities, but I'm surprised at fifth. I don't know. I just, anytime these guys come over, you don't expect them to do quite that well. But I don't, you know, I know he's got a good fast car too, but
it's so different than what he's
exactly
used to.
Yeah, Yep.
Yeah, just remember, I mean, really impressive too is that the Formula One contingent of, if you will, at Indy, and I include Takuma Sato, Alexander Rossi, Max Chilton, all very much in the flow and in, you know, in contention. So the guys who are ex-Formula One drivers and current Formula One drivers in the form of Fernando have really equipped themselves well in what is, let's face it, a specialist sport. It's almost like saying, well, you know, I'm a sharpshooter and I can shoot 100 yards, and then somebody saying, okay, now try it from 1,000 yards.
Yeah. And, you know, being oval, I mean, it's totally different from any sort of Formula One racing. So it's obviously that's such a huge learning curve. It has to be. But guys, I think we just got, yep, the producer gave me a thumbs up. We have Scott Dixon calling in. Mr. Dixon, welcome to Speed City. Hey, Scott, do we have you? Oh, I saw the line get dumped, so we're going to try to get him back here in just a second.
Take another lap, buddy. Come on back in.
He moves quick.
He's probably calling from a cell with all those people around. It's kind of tough, but hopefully we'll get him right back here in a second. But yeah, ovals, I mean, really? I mean, that's...
Well, you know, if you have only driven road course, then you go get on an oval, I'll say that you feel like, oh, this is going to be easy. Well, it's easy to get up to, you know, a good speed, but then you're like splitting just infinitely tiny little hairs to pick up things. And that's where things are different. I've only done it, you know, in carts and things like that on serious racetracks, but that is very different. A lot fewer places that you're going to make a big mistake on an oval when you compare it to a road course. It's really just very different. But, I'm excited for this year. You know, Jonathan and I went last year.
Yeah, that's
one of those things. You know, I was talking to somebody this week about it, and I said, you know, I just can't imagine the excitement that's going on this year compared to last year. You know, they've got bands lined up. They've got the snake pit. They've got all that going on. And, you know, this is absolutely a bucket list item. You got to put it on your list to go do it. Plan on getting there a few days early. Maybe even spend an extra day or two in the area. There's lots of activity going on. Dallara factory is right there.
Yeah, the Mecham auction I saw was in Indianapolis. That's obviously a tradition too.
Yeah, that'll work.
So, Jonathan, you're going to be there.
They got Keith Urban playing this year, and they've also got Steve Miller.
Oh, that's great! A band from our youth.
But it's always good. They play. They do Cobb Day, and they do. Practice, and then they do the parade on Saturday. Les went down there. I was hungover. I don't know why, but Les went down there last year, and it's just so much fun. And then you get to the race, and it's just, I tell you, you will not experience anything in life. I've never been to a Super Bowl, but I tell you what, last year when they stood up and sang that national anthem, and we did the, you know, away in Indiana, it is electric. The balloons go off onto the air, and you are in a
the flyovers
with 350,000 people.
I know that when you say that number, you know, and we're excited to get 250 here at COTA over the 3-day weekend. We're talking 350,000 people there on Sunday. That is crazy.
You know, Jonathan and I got sucked in by some of the elite indie folks there, and I will say there's a total culture. Obviously there's a huge history there, but so many things that are going on, it is amazing how cool things are and the things they do. I'd love to see some of that develop around the races here in Austin. I mean, they're doing, you know, like fantasy football drafts the night before to build your own team, and everybody gets two drivers, and there's games you play and things like that.
That's cool.
And it just adds more to the entire weekend.
Well, hey, guys, let's take a quick break. We got one more break we got to take, so hopefully we'll get Scott back here in a second. We're waiting for Scott Dixon to call back. He called for a second. So, but let's go ahead and take that break, and we'll be back after these quick messages.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience.
With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself. Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane. MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Join me weekdays for This Morning, America's First News. Hear the stories you'll be talking about and searching for all day as we go beyond the headlines and above the chatter. Weekdays at 5 on Talk 1370.
The right choice for breaking news first. Talk 1370. The right choice.
Hi, this is Jay Leno from JayLeno'sGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City. Thanks, Jay Leno, for bringing us back. We're still hoping to get Scott Dixon on the line. He's probably a pretty busy guy, and I know we had him for a second, so we're going to we'll hopefully get him back here in just a few minutes. But, Jonathan, I want you to talk about Red Bull Rallycross. I mean, that's where you are this weekend, and you got to go through a couple more races, and you had a doubleheader this weekend?
No, it was just a single one this weekend here. And the first time we come to Louisville, Kentucky, which was really cool. Great crowd. We had a bunch of people in the stands watching it. And, of course, it was live on NBC, and I'm sure it'll be repeated. But what was interesting is that we had a lot of rain, a lot of wet weather overnight. And when we got up this morning, we had heats yesterday in the dry. And then this morning, the heavens opened, and it was very wet, and then it dried out, and then for the final, just literally, I'm kidding you not, 30 seconds before the final, it started pouring down with rain. Everybody was on dry tires. We had 10 guys in the final. Two Beatles were there, and Tanner Fast and Scott Speed, but for the first time in a long time, they didn't win, and Honda won, and it was really cool because Honda have been trying for a year and a half. They've got a young squad. They've really pushed it. They've got three cars now. And it was Sebastian Ericsson who came through. But he had to do it with a drag race with Steve Arpin to the line. So it was really cool. The fans went nuts. As you can hear from my voice, I went nuts. it was great.
You didn't get it more enthusiastic. I can't imagine that. Man, that is so fun. Oh, speaking of Jonathan enthusiastic, we put out on YouTube, Jonathan got to ride in one of those cars and go 0-60 in 1-point-something seconds. How was that, buddy?
1.9.
How dude, was that?
Incredible, because I was there with my iPhone thinking, okay, I'll film it. And, of course, he took off. And I didn't realize I hit, I hit 2.5 G's in about half a second. So I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Hanging on to the phone. Then I relaxed, and it was great. I mean, these guys are amazing at what they do. But what you don't realize is you're in a metal box, and it's violent. It's the only way I can describe it, because you watch a race car, and it looks pretty smooth from the outside. But when you're in it, you're just in a metal box. You're changing gears. You're going from left to right. You're strapped in. You can hardly move, and you're being slung around. It's like being in a liquidizer.
Well, Jonathan, I was listening to that thing shift. It sounded like that just 0-60, it shifted about 5 times. It was like, beep, 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 beep. There was literally less than a tenth of a second between some of those shifts. It was awesome.
Aren't those running the sequential dual clutch?
Yes, they are. Yeah, I mean, they're turbocharged, and they're getting 600 brake horsepower from these cars. And, we're talking Honda Civic Coupes here. We're talking Ford Fiestas.
VW Bugs, guys, yeah.
We're talking Beetles. We're talking literally Volkswagen Beetles. What you go to the shops in. Now, these are mom-and-pop cars, but they have souped them up to a point of no return.
Yeah, I saw you trying. I saw you filming that, and then I realized it was your iPhone. I was surprised you could even keep your hand up with all the G-forces to shoot that video.
Yeah, I know. It was incredible. And what was great is they do the media rides on the Friday before the event. But what it is...
Hey, Greeny, I'm going to stop you. I'm going to stop you because
oh,
I think...
God, you got Scott Dixon. I'm stopping.
I think we got Mr. Dixon on the phone. I think we got him. Hey, Scott Dixon, welcome to Speed City.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you? Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, how was this these last few days? It just had to be amazing to end up on top here.
Yeah, it's definitely it's always a roller coaster. I think here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and especially when it's pole weekend. You know, we all know how race weekend can go, but you know, I think with how we've had the weather conditions, you know, we had a lot of warmth early on in the week, and then some rain, obviously, on Saturday and Sunday, and delayed things. And you know, on our side, we didn't do the morning practices, so both qualifying days, you know, the first laps in the car were actually in qualifying mode and trying to get those laps down. So. You know, big day for us to you know, grab the pole is huge, you know, to do this for the 101st running of the Indianapolis 500. And hopefully now the big task of trying to keep it there.
Scott, I got to ask you, this is Jonathan Green. We were together in December, and it just seems a long time ago now, but I'm so happy for you. I watched the whole thing unfold, and I got to ask you, how risky was it? You even said in the interview with ABC afterwards that you were a little worried that you trimmed it out too much. Because everybody was hitting turn two, there was a lot of wind. How risky was today's run? Because it was fast. It was, well, full jandle, as you would say.
Yeah, it was definitely pretty crazy. You know, I think you know, the toughest part today was actually, you know, you have a lot of time on your hands, and we had such a good qualifying on Saturday that, you know, we were, you know, the third to last car to go. So you get to watch another 30 cars make attempts, and you know, there was definitely some tricky conditions with the wind, and turn two was playing havoc with a lot of cars. So I think there was four or five that touched, maybe a couple of cars touched, you know, a couple of times in turn two. And, you know, even more so after the horrific crash we saw earlier with Sebastian Bourdais in Saturday qualifying. So it was definitely, for us, you know, I think when you see those cars struggling, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, you start thinking, okay, we trimmed too much, you know, have we put enough front wing in it so the car's going to turn? Have we put too much front wing in it, you know, is the car going to spin out? So you just have all these thoughts going through, and sitting in the pre-line before we went out for qualifying, you know, I was just on the radio, I'm like, Chris, man, I think we've trimmed too much, you know, we have to put some more downforce on the car. But luckily it hung on throughout most of it. I had to lift a couple times in turn two, but strong day and a strong run for the number nine.
Yeah, no question. And congratulations to Chip. I saw Chip give you a big hug afterwards. Your wife, I don't know if you've seen the video yet, but your wife was literally running down the pit lane, jumping up and down. Your kids were there. I know you now live in Indianapolis, and, you know, this is a home race for you. Ed Carpenter, the worst of all people to come out as the last man to go, because you know what he can do. It must have been a very emotional time for you and your family.
Yeah, it is. You know, I think the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, it's always full of emotions. And you know, I think when you're coming down to the fine line of trying to, you know, capture a pole or win the race here, you know, it changes people's lives. And, you know, Emma's super emotional, which is great to see. And obviously the kids, you know, I think now are at an age where, you know, they really start to understand it, and they can, you know, see the importance of it for us as a family. And just what a, you know, an accomplishment like that can be. But yeah, it's crazy to hear stories afterwards. You know, you know, when you're out there running around, you don't get to see a lot of that stuff going on. So I'll definitely have to you know, check in on those videos and see how crazy Emma was. I can only imagine. But you know, you definitely right there with Ed Carpenter going out last. You know, he's been on the pole a couple of times, and you know, you're gonna have to do something, you know, pretty special to try and beat him here come qualifying day.
Well, Scott, I know that you've done this before. You've won you took the pole a few times before, and then you won it from the pole in 2008. Obviously, that's the goal.
Yeah, it is. You know, that's what we've got to try and replicate is 2008. We had the pole in 2015 as well and dominated the race. I think we led over half the laps, but, you know, had an overheating issue come late with the last stint, and we had to settle for fourth place on that day. But, you know, it is it is one thing to get the pole here, but you know, for us, we're just trying to, you know, gun for that second win, and they don't come easy by all means here, and hopefully we can have a little bit of, you know, a little bit of lady luck on our side and have a smooth day and be fighting for the victory come the last, you know, stint in about a week's time. So fingers crossed we can have a good one.
Excellent. Scott, I got to ask, because I always found it interesting that we had qualifying and then a week later the race actually came around. What goes on between now and then besides all the social and the sponsor meetings?
Yeah, it's a lot of media stuff. They've actually added in the last couple of years. We have now another practice session tomorrow on Monday from 12 to 4, so we get another 4 hours practicing, and then Tuesday we have a media blitz across the whole country. I'll be actually heading to Toronto on Tuesday. Wednesday, you know, you have community day, and you know, there's something, you know, pretty much every day on the lead up to I think we maybe get Thursday off. Maybe there's a couple of days that you might have kind of a light day, but yeah, it's pretty busy, and it's probably the toughest part, I think, of the whole event, just because you're talking about the race, you're talking about what you might be able to do, you know, who might be your biggest competitors, and you know, when it comes down to it, you've got somewhat of an idea, but you don't really have a good idea of how it's going to play out. So it's hard to talk about the race a lot, being a competitor and just, you know, someone who loves to race cars. All you want to do is get in the car and get out there and get that race started.
Scott, I got to ask you, obviously a lot of the media interest has been around Fernando Alonso. And I know that I was watching you and Tony Kanaan, and for the regulars in Indy, you know just exactly what this month is all about. He doesn't. How impressed, what have you spoken to Fernando about? Just give me your impression of the Formula One champion coming in.
Yeah, I think he's done a hell of a job, you know, and I didn't really expect anything less. You know, he's one of the all-time greats, I think, in the motor racing community, and we know, you know, how talented, you know, he is, and you know, I think we're very lucky to have him over here. We know he's missing a race in the Formula One schedule to do this race. He's with a great team. He's got, you know, a great group around him. He's got great teammates. You know, he's going to have a good shot. And I think, you know, he will be one of the guys you'll have to beat. And it just shows you the caliber, you know, that he is. But I think, you know, sometimes as a rookie, it's almost a little bit not easier. It's different because you don't know what to expect. You don't know what's right. You don't know what's wrong. So you have kind of a really open mind. I think if you come here for many years, like, you know, someone like myself or Tony Kanaan, you kind of know what to expect, which can be bad too. So, you know, I remember my rookie year, I just, you know, I was kind of flailing about a lot, but it was super exciting and you didn't know what was going on and you didn't expect too much. So, you know, I think he's going to have a hell of a race and hopefully we can beat him, because I think he'll be one that we'll have to beat.
Hey, Scott, so I got to say, you know, welcome to Speed City. You're now part of the family. Each time we have somebody new come on the show, we ask them a question. And let me tell you the answer of a few of your counterparts.
Yeah.
Alexander Rossi, I'm not going to say what the question is yet, but Alexander Rossi answered the question with Silverado pickup. Connor Daly answered it with Subaru that I've blown up 5 motors in. So the question is, what's your daily car driver?
My daily driver is an Acura, man. It's a Honda product, you know. You got to, I think it's one of the best road cars, and it's the best car that I have because it's free. But no, it's a hell of a car. The Acura NDX, mate, you need to go out and buy one.
Not the NSX? Come on. It's, you know, come
they
on, NSX.
They haven't upgraded me to the NSX yet. I've been asking, but no, I'm in the MDX. I'm in the family mobile right now. I'm in the family mobile. So maybe soon I can get an NSX. Maybe if I win the Indianapolis 500, they'll give me one.
Hey, there you go. I think they ought to just give you one then. None of this borrow the keys.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, Scott, I'll be there tomorrow. I'll be with you all week, and I'll be following you, and we'll be following you on Speed City. Good luck, my friend, and I really, really hope you can pull it off.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. We really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Take care, Scott.
Thanks a lot, Scott.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I hadn't got the NSX yet either. Who has this NSX that's floating around? You know there's one out here.
They're not that much money. They got to let these guys have one.
You'd think if anybody, I want the Indy 500 pole sitter sitting in one.
Jonathan, I am so jealous. He's going to be in Indy all week, hanging out. Oh, this is going to be a blast. I know that you're, what time are you getting up there? You're getting on like 7 in the morning?
No, he's not. He's shocked right there.
I think we lost Jonathan.
7 o'clock. What? Do people get up at that time?
Hey,
no,
listen, Indiana is farming country.
They do have one more practice tomorrow. And in fact, what's interesting about this practice, and I will report back to you, and we'll put the interviews I get out on SoundCloud, and we'll do a podcast, because tomorrow is interesting, because tomorrow they forget about qualifying, and then they fill the fuel tanks to race.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this is race spec practice.
Tomorrow is almost more important, because tomorrow will give us an indication of how they're running with full fuel tanks and what kind of race setup they have. And that's where it's really going to be. And that's where Dixon and the real experience comes through.
Yeah, that's going to be fun to watch, too. I mean, that's when things get even, you know, it's a whole different level. Obviously, qualifying is pretty serious, but that's going to be interesting, Jonathan. So what else, Jonathan? We talked about all the different things that go on, Carb Day and all those other things, but
I got one good story for you.
Yeah?
Well, I'll ask you a question, and I've got a story as well.
Well, I was just going to, this is great. Actually, it's even better. I was just going to ask you, are there any other behind-the-scenes things that you're going to be a part of up at Indy this year?
Yeah, like Scott says, it's a full-on week. And in fact, tomorrow is their last practice. So I'll be there tomorrow afternoon when Scott and everybody else gets out of the car. So hopefully I'll get what I can. And then Tuesday, they literally leave Indianapolis. Ed Carpenter might be the only one staying because he's the local guy. But they do. They go to all parts of the United States. And as you heard with Scott, they're going to Canada. So they go, and basically it's a bit like a movie junket. They basically publicize the Indianapolis 500 all around the country to try and get as many viewers to tune in and do a publicity thing. And then on Wednesday, they go to the schools. They go and do basically a charity type thing, community service type thing with the schools locally in Indianapolis. Thursday, they have a day off. Friday, they get back into the mode, if you will. And it's Carb Day, and then there's the Indy Lights race, and then it's race day Sunday, and there's the parade on Saturday. So, you know, it's a full-on week, and, you know, there's plenty of opportunity.
Alrighty.
To get close up to your heroes.
Jonathan, you and I got invited into the Socialite fantasy racing game last year, and we got to watch the draft. I want you to go back to that and go find the guy that we were talking to, telling him that Alexander Rossi might surprise him. I want you to find the guy that drafted him with that and shrugged, because I think he was 42-1 in their point system.
Well, you know what? I got another ringer this year. My friend Jack Harvey. Watch him.
Okay. Yeah, Jack. Where's Jack from? He's from.
Story. I got my story.
Okay.
Tell you my story. So back in 2008, when Scott Dixon won the Indy 500 from pole, he kept his racing gloves. Scott is one of those guys that understands the history, understands the significance of it. He's a simple guy from Auckland, New Zealand. And for him to come over here is just fantasy land. And I can assure you that having been in New Zealand as long as I have, these guys just absolutely look at this event as being just incredible. He kept his gloves from the 2008 race and didn't get them out until last year. And so he ran them for 100. And I bet you $1,000 he's got them this year as well. So that just shows you what it means to him.
Yeah, fantastic.
That's awesome. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up, guys. Obviously, this week, Jonathan's going to be up there. So we're going to be putting out content all week long on SoundCloud. Just watch our Twitter and Facebook feeds. And we'll be pushing some of that stuff to our website and to our SoundCloud. And you can always go to speedcityradio.com, because we kind of redirect that during the week and point that to SoundCloud and other places. But we want to thank Scott Dixon for coming on the show. It's first time
Good
for
luck,
Scott,
Scotty.
I believe. So thanks a lot, Scott. And we'll talk to you next week.
Travel safe, buddy, and enjoy the milk.
Happy trails.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You know Graybar for electrical parts, but there's one more thing you may not be thinking of us for that can help maximize your next project's total value. Our pre-project planning services are designed to help you win the bid, save on labor costs, and keep your installers productive across your entire build. The sooner you call us, the better. Because when we're there from the beginning, we can anticipate your needs and help you solve problems before they become problems. Yep, Graybar does that.